Oh, hallelujah. It's a day to remember. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4? And as you're turning one more time, we're so grateful that you're here. I know it's a special day, but I want to say to us, church, let's just have church while we're at church. Amen. Whatever the special occasion might be, we're here to encounter God and to know His presence. Amen. Luke chapter 4, we're reading a few verses here, turning our hearts to the Word, praying God will do something eternal in people's hearts today. I believe He wants to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're Pentecostals and we're doing our morning exercises, so could you stand again and we'll read the Word this morning. Praise God. Some of our Amen Corner went to get the chicken, so just explaining their absence. Luke chapter 4, again reading with verse 16. Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Esaias, or that's Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. This is what He read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus announced why He came to planet Earth. And out of all of that, I want to focus on the last part of verse 18. Jesus said, I am come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to preach this morning, He sets the captive free. He sets the captive free. By the Spirit, Jesus is still doing on planet Earth today what He said He came to do those 2,000 years ago. He's still doing that. He's still setting men and women and boys and girls, setting them free. And I want to add right there, only He can set people free the way they need to be set free. Nobody else can loose them. But I want you to know, Jesus can set the captive free. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to believe He's going to set somebody free this morning? Keep your hand up. Let's ask the Lord to move all across the house. Lord, move in our hearts. Anoint the preaching of Your Word. Help us to hear from heaven. May someone leave with their life changed, set free from sin, delivered by the Master. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I believe you'll agree with this statement, but I believe people of our time and culture and age are becoming increasingly bound and fettered and imprisoned like never before. Amen. It's more than just hang-ups. People are literally fettered and chained and shackled. I thought many times it wasn't a matter of cruelty. It's just the way you did it back then. If you didn't have a fence on your backyard, you went to Walmart and bought one of those screw-in stakes and got you a leash and you put your dog on it. And I had hunting beagles, and there's something about a beagle. They're either a good hunter or they're dumb. I had both. I had good hunters, and I had dumb beagles. But some of them would get out there, and that screw-in stake has a swivel, and supposedly wherever that dog goes on that circumference as he goes around, the swivel turns. But it don't work that way. They start going around. The next thing you know, somehow the swivel jams, and they begin to wind that chain around that stake. How many's ever had your dog staked out like that? You've been out there, haven't you? You got out there and that dog has wound that chain around that stake until his head's right up against it. His eyes are bugged out. His tongue's hanging out. He's give out. He's thirsty. He can't even move. He's just like this, all up against that stake. How many knows what I'm talking about? Hey, amen. You've seen that. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but when I think of that, amen, I think that's exactly the way a lot of people's souls are. Amen. They've got involved in something. Instead of getting out of it, they became hooked. They became fettered to it. The more they tried to release themselves, the more they struggled against the chains of sin, the more bound they came. You know, at first, that dog could jump. He had a little room of maneuvering. He could eat. He could drink. He could enjoy himself. But he was already hooked to the chain. He was already attached to the chain that was going to bind him up and take away his complete freedom. Some people still seem that they're enjoying themselves. They have some movement. They're living it up. They're eating, drinking, and being merry. But they're already attached to the chain that's going to bind them up and fetter their soul. Amen. I want you to know that's the truth this morning. That little dog or dog, when he got in that kind of mess, he could not free himself. It took somebody that was of higher intelligence. It took a higher being, a human, to reach down, get a hold of him, begin to untangle him, to begin to loose him. It took someone higher when he could not free himself. I'm telling you, when a human gets all bound up, when their soul gets all fettered, when they get all imprisoned, they'll never be able to free themselves. But there is a higher being. There is Jesus who is able to reach down and loose them. And he'd like to do it for someone in this building this morning. Aren't you glad he sets the captive free? I want you to know that Christianity is a religion of freedom and liberation and pardon. Faith in Jesus will free a soul. Faith in Jesus will free a home. Faith in Jesus will free a nation. Even I read to you Jesus' stated purpose of his mission and motivation for his coming. He said, I have come to set at liberty them that are bruised. To set them free. Now, I want you to notice the word bruised this morning. He said, I've come to free those that are bruised. Bruised literally means broken. It was used of the old clay pot that was dropped and broke in many pieces. It was broken. But he said, I came to set free those that are broken. You know, many times we think of spiritual bondage in terms of those who have addictions, those who have demonic influences in their life. We think of spiritual bondage of those that have been deceived and are rebellious, and all of those are types of spiritual bondage. But I want you to consider what Jesus said. I've come to set free those that are bruised, those that are broken. How will you know there is no bondage like the bondage of a bruised soul, a bruised life? There's no bondage like the bondage of someone that's been battered and broken in their life. Amen. This same word, I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. It's the same word in the same prophet when it was said of Jesus, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. I'm telling you, if your life is broken, Jesus hasn't come to finish you off. He's come to put your life back together. Hallelujah. If your life is about to be extinguished, he hadn't come to snuff you out. He's come to reignite the flame of your heart. Nobody needs set free like those that have been broken in their life. I'm telling you, there's no bondage like the bondage of hurt and the bondage of bitterness and the bondage of betrayal and the bondage of worthlessness and hopelessness. Amen. I'm talking about a broken heart, a broken dream, a broken relationship. They leave people in bondage, emotional bondage, baggage, amen, limitations, depressions, and delusions. But if you're here this morning and you feel broken on the inside, and your life feels broken, or your marriage feels broken, or your home feels broken, He came to set at liberty them that are bruised and broken. Hallelujah! He can deliver you from the limitations of a broken life. Oh, let's just have church while we're at church. I said He wants to set someone free that's been in bondage to the brokenness in their life. How many believes that? Oh, hallelujah. You guys got double duty this morning. There's only half of you here. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Set at liberty them that are bruised. He came for this reason. Jesus came for this reason because this is man's greatest need. Man's greatest need is not financial. It's not physical. Man's greatest need is to be set free from sin. Oh, hallelujah. I wrote a little note to myself as I study this. Jesus said this was His reason for coming when He came to earth. And I wrote the little note, do we really think people are any less bound today than they were then? Are people any less bound today than they were when Jesus walked the earth? I say, no, sir. I think people are more bound. Bondages may be of a little different nature and character, but people are more bound today. But that doesn't change anything. He's still the liberator. Oh, hallelujah. That's why He came on earth the first time. He stepped foot here. He said, I came to set the captive free. And that's why He's in the building this morning. It's for the same purpose. It's to set the captive free. His purpose and motive and mission has never changed. You say He's not here. Yes, sir. He's here in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus can deliver the captive. He gives us clues why. First of all, He was anointed. You anointed someone that you were appointing to a position to do a certain job. I'm telling you, Jesus can deliver because He was anointed of God to deliver. The Father put Him in that position. The Father gave Him the authority. The Father commissioned Him and sent Him with the assigned task to deliver. I'm telling you, Jesus can deliver because God has appointed Him to do the delivering. Then Jesus said, I'm going to deliver because I've got a spirit on me. In fact, right before He got to the synagogue, the scripture said He came out of the wilderness full of the Spirit. He got that at the baptism. Hallelujah. Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm telling you, Jesus could deliver because He was full of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, those evil spirits out there, and there are evil spirits out there, they will bind, they will imprison, they will ensnare, they will entrap. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll start breaking the bondages off. The chains will start coming off the prison door. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's why on a Sunday morning in a freedom service, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on this place. Because when the Spirit comes, the bondages start coming off. Thirdly, Jesus could deliver. Amen. Because He had already overcome Satan. Before He read that in the synagogue, He had just been doing battle with Satan. 40-day fast, been in the wilderness. Satan tempted Him every way. Don't have time to go into that. I won't. But the Bible said when Jesus got through, full of the Spirit, wielding this word, when He got through with Satan, Satan got out of there. I'm telling you, Jesus can set free because He knows how to handle the devil. Come on, somebody shout. You say the devil's got my life in a mess. I'm ensnared by. But listen, He can set you free because He has all power in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. If you're bound this morning, Jesus can speak the word and set your spirit free. Oh, let Him do it. That's my prayer. He sets the captive free. Mental bondage of anxiety, worry, and stress. Emotional bondage of hurt and bitterness. Physical bondage of sickness. Spiritual bondage of sin, guilt. Even social bondage of hurt and betrayal. But Jesus sets free. I'm about done, but I want to, before I get through, I want to tell you just some of the things Jesus sets free from. Number one, He sets free from sin. they brought unto him a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they threw her at the feet of Jesus and said unto him, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to approve, to trick him, they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So they continued asking him, and when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, which among you is without sin, let him first be the one to cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, to the youngest, the least. And Jesus was left alone with that woman. And when Jesus knew that it was just the woman there, he lifted up himself, and when he saw none but the woman, he saith unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She saith, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. He set her free from sin. I'm telling you, they brought that woman, amen, in the hands of the accusations. They brought her, those men, those self-righteous hands that they gripped her with. Yes, they caught her in the act, but there's self-righteous hands of condemnation. They had a hold of her. She wasn't getting loose. She wasn't going to get free. She was going to face the punishment for her sin. And they brought her in the grip of their self-righteous hands and threw her at the feet of Jesus and picked up stones and held those stones in impending judgment upon her. She's in the grip of sin, the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin, the lust of sin and the penalty of sin. I'm telling you, she is in bondage. But when Jesus got through, every hand that held her had been loosed. Every hand that held the stone above her had thrown the stone down. And when Jesus got through, there wasn't one bondage anywhere around her. She was free from sin, free from its guilt, free from its punishment. She was free to go and sin no more. I'm telling you, that's the true freedom of sin. Jesus will free you from sin to go and sin no more. They threw her at the feet of Jesus, amen, a captive. But when she got up, she left a freed woman. It is ludicrous, but as in Jesus' day, some people will deny, even when they hear the message, they will deny that there's any bondage in their life. Even they tried that with Jesus. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Any kid in Sunday school can tell you that the Jews had been in bondage. They know about Egyptian bondage. And yet they stood, and without batting an eye, when Jesus said, the truth will set you free, they denied they had bondage and lied and said, we were never in bondage to any man. Not only had they been in Egyptian bondage currently at Jesus' time, they were under the bondage of the Roman Empire. And yet they looked at him and said, we've never been in bondage. I'm telling you, that's the ludicrous thing. That's the sad thing. People can hear the message that Christ can set them free. They can be like that dog up against a stake, tongue hanging out of their soul, eyes bugged out, amen, breathing their last, and they'll deny that there's bondage in their life. You deny you've got bondage in your life, you can't be set free. But if you'll just look up and say, yes, I'm bound. I'm tired of being bound. I'm tired of sin having a hold of me. I'm tired of sin binding my mind. I'm tired of sin having a hold of my emotions, my heart, my soul. If you'll just admit it, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many believes Jesus sets free from sin? You say, you don't know how bad I sin. You don't know what I've been involved in. I've been involved in dark things, evil things, satanic things. It doesn't matter. He can set free. He came to open that prison. There's not a prison that can hold you if you'll admit it and come to him. Jesus not only sets free from sin, he sets free from Satan. It's a sad story. Jesus on the mount, And a man brought to Jesus' disciples a boy that was demon-possessed. Jesus, coming off the mountain, wondered at the commotion. The father came and said, "I brought my son. He's demon-possessed. That demon in him will cause him to gnash his teeth, foam at the mouth. It tears at him. Your disciples could not cast the spirit out." Jesus said, "Oh, ye little faith, bring him to me." That man said, "That demon takes my son and throws him in the fire and throws him in the water." How could the demon do that? Because it had a hold. That demon or demons had a hold of that young boy, had that boy in their grip, and they could literally throw him to the ground, throw him in the fire, throw him into the water. They went to get the boy, and when the demons in him knew that it was Jesus, they let out a protest and took that young boy that was in their grip and threw him down at the ground. Amen. Jesus said, "You loose him. You let him go." Those demons made a last ditch effort, a feeble effort. They tore that young boy and he went into a coma like he was dead. They made that effort to not come out. But as soon as Jesus said, "You're coming out," they're coming out. They tried to keep it from happening, but it happened. They tried to kill him on the way out, but when he lay there in a coma, Jesus reached down, took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was free from the power of Satan. I know there's demonic power, but when Jesus said, "I came to open the prison door," he was talking about those under the hold of satanic power. Make no mistake, they'll walk into our assembly under the hold, the bondage, the grip of demonic powers. But if we will believe the Lord, he can set them free. He is the Son of God. He is the Most High, the Most Holy, the Most Righteous, and he came to set folks like that free. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. People make decisions that allow sin to bind them and allow Satan to take them full captive. People make decisions. Listen to me carefully. I do not believe that every alcoholic, every drug addict, every porn addict has a demon. I don't believe that. But I believe those kind of addictions work the same in a person's life as demonic possession. Brother Cecil, I'm not saying when alcohol had a hold of you that you had a demon in your life. But I'll tell you, alcohol addiction is a demon in itself. I'll tell you something about demons. They always bind. I said they always bind. They have only one purpose: to wreak havoc and destroy. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of the message of the gospel. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. Those demons will destroy. They'll get a hold. They won't let go. It's a grip of talons. It'll destroy. It's the choking of darkness. But Jesus said, "I will set you free." Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe it's not the demon addiction. Maybe it's the chemical addiction. Maybe it's the pornography on the internet. But if you'll come to Jesus, oh hallelujah, he can set you free. Hallelujah. I tell you, we're here to celebrate freedom. Hallelujah. I've been reading George Bush's autobiography, and he was talking about his thinking on faith-based programs, and I don't have them here in front of me, but he gave the statistics for those with chemical abuse on up to just prisoners of crime, and how you put them in the secular programs of the world and let them out, and the rate of them not going back to their crimes or addiction is very small. But put them in a place that teaches faith in Jesus, amen, teaches them the Word of God, and it's astronomically the difference in the statistics of those that won't go back into that sin. Why? Even if you're tied up to the stake, you cannot free yourself. You need someone greater, mightier. I'm telling you, there is power. This isn't just good sounding words. This isn't just another philosophy. This isn't just another religion. It's a living God who will step right in the middle of your life and tell the demon, "Go," and unlock the prison door and break off the chains of your life. Oh, hallelujah. I believe in forgiveness, but some people need more than the forgiveness. They need deliverance.
I believe in blessing. But some people that come don't need to bless them, Jesus. Bless them, Jesus. They need the prayers prayed over them. Set them free. Set them free. Deliver them. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do it this morning. He's greater. He's greater. I said He's greater. We made it an empty platitude, but it is a reality. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. If you've got problems with the one in the world, amen, you need to get Christ in you, and He that's in the world's going to leave. Oh, I got to move forward. Jesus sets free from sickness. Oh, I'm going to get to that. Brother Jamie was leading the other night. We were gone. I had to catch it on the internet. That old song, I was once a slave to Satan, and he worked his will in me. But I'm bound by sin no longer, for the Son has set me free. I was bound. Amen. And he worked his will in me. Amen. Paul talked about those that Satan takes captive at his will. I believe people are responsible. I believe that once they get in their addiction, they may not be able to control their actions. But the point is, somewhere in the past, they chose that addiction. You say, I can't help myself anymore, I'm bound. Yes, but somewhere down the line, you took the first drink, you visited the first site, you took the first drag off the drug. Amen. I'm not here to condemn. I'm just saying, first of all, take responsibility. Don't blame it on anybody else or anything else. And then bring it to Jesus. And however you got there, He'll set you free. The Son can make you free. Jesus sets free from sickness. Amen. The Bible tells of a woman which had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. Satan got her bounded in that sickness and bent her over like this. She had walked like this for 18 years, couldn't lift up herself. Jesus had the audacity to call her out in church and bring her out in front of everybody like this. I'm telling you, she was bound by that. The Bible said she wasn't just sick. She didn't just have a virus. She didn't just have a genetic syndrome. She was bound by the spirit of infirmity. But Jesus saw her. Aren't you glad He sees the one in need? You might have missed them this morning, but Jesus has already seen everybody in need in this house. Jesus saw her and called her to Him and said unto her, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, honey. Stand up. I won't make a spectacle of you, but just bend down like you're all bound. Jesus called her out like that. Amen. And He looked at that woman and He said, woman, it's been 18 years. The bondage has been on your life. But woman, be loosed of that infirmity. Hallelujah. I've always felt this way. I don't even think Jesus lifted her up. I don't even think He put it. I believe He said, be loosed. And when He lifted up His hand, go ahead and raise up. Be loose. You know what I thought about? She had said 18 years in a church service like this. Never saw the preacher. Never saw the singer. But when she straightened up, the first thing she saw was the face of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you get liberated, the first thing you're going to see is Him, the liberator, the deliverer. Hallelujah. He'll set you free. I don't care how long it was. Her child had already been born, went through school, and graduated 18 years. But it wasn't too long for Him. He set her free. Every sickness isn't caused by a demon, but sickness in itself is a bondage. Sickness restricts, it limits, it handicaps. And I believe He can heal sickness. I don't have time to get into Christian worldview. I'm not against doctors or any of that. But I believe if we had turned to the Lord, we'd see Him liberating folks from the bondage of their sickness. And I'll tell you another thing, not all sickness is physical. A lot of sickness is mental and emotional. It's got the root of emotional distress and anxiety. Hallelujah. Again, I'm not ragging on the doctors, But I'm telling you, a lot of people that's on different kind of pills for their mood, pills to cope with life, pills for this. If you've got a deficiency, if there's a chemical reason, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying a lot of those pills is just to deal with the mental afflictions, the emotional afflictions. Amen. You may have them, and more Americans have them than ever before, but instead of the psychologist, come to Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, come to Jesus. He made us, He knows us, and He came for the purpose to set us free. Let Him set you free from anxiety and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to go on to the last one. Jesus sets free from death. Jesus sets free from death. Oh, my soul thrills every time at the story. I don't have time to get into all of it. But when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she rose quickly and went to Him. She said, Master, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, Lazarus. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, Oh, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, You didn't hear me right. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ. And she went and told Mary what was happening. Mary came. Everybody was weeping. And Jesus said, Lead me to the tomb. Lead me to the tomb. And He came to the tomb, and it was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Open that grave. And Martha said to Him, He's been dead 4 days now, Lord. He already stinketh. Jesus saith unto her, Set out unto thee that if thou would believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where Lazarus was. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people that stand by, I said it, Father. And then He turned to that tomb, that open mouth, and He said, Lazarus, come forth. And He came forth. I said, He came forth. He still had the grave clothes on, and His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. I'm telling you, death could not hold Lazarus, because Jesus came to set the captive free. We're in bondage to death two ways. First of all, is the fear of death. Amen. Knowing that we're all going to die, that can strike fear in your heart. I mean, it can depress you. Death is glamorous when you're young. You glamorize over your whole death and who's going to be at your funeral. Very few have Tom Sawyer's privilege of being at their own funeral. Youth glamorize about death, but somewhere along the line, it starts hitting you. I'm going to die. That ain't the same like saying, I'm going to inherit $1 million. Or that's not an uplifting thought. You say it doesn't bother you, you haven't thought too much about it. How many knows we're all on the same train? Some are just in a few cars further up and few further back than us. Trains going to the same place. You can get to stewing on that, thinking about that. You say, how does it know? How do you know it bothers us? Because the writer of Hebrews said He came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The very fear of death keeps man in bondage. But I'm telling you, He came to set free from death. And the way He began it is He faced death Himself. He died, conquered death, rose again. So we know that when we face it, we too can conquer it through Him. There's no need for fear of death, because Jesus has already been there and come back. How many knows He has risen again? I know there's sickness. Death is not, we still sorrow, but we sorrow not as those that have no hope. Amen. We don't have to fear death, because Jesus has conquered it. How many knows there's something on the other side of death? I don't care what the science teacher tells you. It's there. But it's not just the fear of death that holds in bondage. It's death itself. Death comes and takes a person in its icy, fatal grip. It gets a hold of a person. But listen to what Peter said of Jesus. God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held by death. Death does come. Death does get a grip. Death does pull down to the grave. But in the end, death will have to let go its grip of every believer, because Jesus has come to set free of death. And one day there's going to be a resurrection, and Jesus is going to say, be loose from death, and everyone that has died in Christ will rise again. Oh, what a freedom. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for spiritual freedom. Oh, come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you need to be set free. The Lord wants to set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw a simple cartoon this week, and I thought a lot about it in the context of this message. It showed a prison. Showed the gate of the prison open. Showed the name of the prison, which was sin. And in front of the open gate of the prison, there was a guard standing there. And a bypasser reporter, I forget which, was talking to the guard. And here was his question. He said to the guard, "Why are you still here? The governor pardoned all the prisoners. Why are you still here? The governor pardoned all the prisoners." And the guard answered, "I know that, and they know that, but there's some of them that just won't leave. Gate standing wide open." I'm telling you, he came to pardon. He came to set the captive free. The gate is wide open. Why are some folks still bound? They just won't leave. They won't walk through the open gate. I want to tell you, if you will, if you want to, if you desire it, Jesus will set you free. But when He opens the door, walk out and leave it forever behind you. Let's stand and praise Him. Hallelujah.